Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Enrique Esco Escalero, 19 years of career experience, a captain with Montgomery County Fire Rescue assigned to the Rockville Station. Becoming a firefighter wasn't a goal for Enrique. While in college, he heard an ad on the radio promoting Montgomery. With college tuition bills on the brain, Enrique decided to apply to see what would happen. To his shock, he received a phone call that would change and view the way he looks at life for the better and hasn't looked back since. A quote that stood out to me stated by Enrique was, "You have a responsibility to your people as company officers." With that, I present Enrique Esco Escalero.
Enrique Esco, basically my nickname, Esco Escalero, captain with Montgomery County Fire Rescue for 19 years now.
Okay, and how'd you get into the fire service?
That's actually a really good question. I would say unconventional. Born and raised in Montgomery County, it's in Montgomery County Public Schools. Decided to go to college at UMBC. Came from a small family, immigrant family, basically. And the reason why I say that is college is expensive. And there's four of us coming up, and I felt fondly to basically find a job to pay my way. So I was going to college for political science, saw the financial burn on my parents, and then I heard a commercial on the radio saying, "Hey, join fire rescue, tuition assistance, this and that." So I was thinking, well, I don't want to be behind a desk all the time, because at that time I was 20-some and I felt like working out all the time. And then, so how do I do something where I can pay for college, I can continue to do something physically and mentally? So then I applied to the only place I knew, because I don't know anything about the fire department. I didn't know that it was like I had a chance to go to Baltimore, DC. I could apply anywhere at that age. I just applied to my home county. So that could have been anywhere. But any town in USA, and the same story would have been at that department, you know? So went through it and basically got hired that way.
Okay. All right, so yeah. your first pick, and you got right on. You didn't have to wait. You didn't get rejected first time.
So, yeah, the first time, I would say we had two classes running. So basically I was in the back half, so bottom of the barrel. Yeah, bottom of the barrel, but I appreciate that class, because I felt like we had a bunch of us that were from the same dynamic. Whereas in what I'm trying to say is, some of us didn't really have fire department experience, and we kind of had the same mindset, mentality. So like, unfortunately I didn't get to finish with that recruit class, because I was young and stupid, played football at Ocean City, and broke my toe at that event while I'm almost done with recruit class.
Right.
Luckily, they were graceful enough to say, "Hey, we're just going to roll you over into the next." Now, Everything that I've done in the fire service, everything in those trying times has been, now hindsight 2020, a blessing. So I was a huge goofball on the second half of class, where, like, you know, people were like, "Oh, better watch out for this guy." Went through that whole time, got to have a stint in the 12th floor, so to speak, with all chiefs are coming in. I'm with this recruit saying, hello chief, and I don't even know what the tags mean at all. Right. Could have been a captain, or could have been the chief. Didn't know who is what. And then I go into this next class, and class 29 is who I graduated with. And those guys really, I think, it matured me a little bit coming out of there.
Okay. All right. So with that being said, upon completion, what was your first assignment?
Company 16. Company 16 was my first assignment. I think we were called the frat house, I believe. We had a bunch of young guys. Some names that I continued on in my career. And we can speak in that later. But what I'm saying, everyone grew. And it's funny to see them later, right? Mm-hmm. But I went under Captain Moody, who was a Marine. I believe he was in the Special Forces. I can't remember. But he definitely took me under his wing. It was funny. He was very strict but fair, and he basically, it was funny comparing myself to other probation packets. He was going through, I think at that time he had finished or was getting college credits. You know how you get your credits approved for life for work experience. So
Okay.
he really wanted me to put headers and footers and references. And so like my packet looked like a college packet. So he put a lot of that work ethic into me. And again, you can imagine. So this is the profile. It's a funny origin story because here's your profile. I'm a kid who is at that time, I want to say 19, 20, right? I'm like $36,000 a year. I'm like, my all this money, because I'm living at home with my mom, no rent, no nothing, right? And I buy a BMW, right? So I buy a BMW. So they got this rookie with a BMW, and the other captain at another ship used to call me Biff, because I guess Biff on Back to the Future used to like watches.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just so funny. So you can imagine, this is the guy that they received no fire department experience. So like, why not roll back when the tones go off? Everything's like freaking crazy when you see it, they really took me under the wing and really pounded some of the principles into me as I went along. And I think they really started to create that layer of a thick skin in me that assists me as things transition. So that's where I started Station 16 in Silver Spring.
Okay. And in your opinion, how important is it to have those individuals like that? Because, you can have easily gotten to assigned to a station where, the guys are kind of just like fly by the pants of their seats. You know what I mean? Like there's really no rules. It's a free for all. And,
Right.
but with you being with that captain, definitely, it was, you were able to mature, and I'm sure he was able to teach you things about the fire service you didn't know.
Exactly. And the thing is that I would say that's a beginning or a piece of the story, because what you said, it's like I could have that core, and I did transition from that to another core where it was like no one cares, right? And I went there, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And I the next station I went to, basically, I found the end of the internet, because there was nothing to do there, which is not good for a young guy, right?
Right.
But the point is like, I have had found and key points in my career when someone spoke into me, right? It doesn't take a shift or a group of people. You just need someone to speak into you or speak over you or look out for you. You don't necessarily need to have someone there with you at all times, right? So as I age, it's always, you start hearing these wise words that you once heard, now you're starting to deliver to other people, right? So I can tell you, there are folks that along the lines, like as I transition to different stations, that like an example would say, like, one thing I can tell you right now, looking back, is Captain Clemens at Station 24. When I went there, he basically, I don't know what he saw me, but he cornered me in the bathroom one day. And this is when I didn't really care about the fire department at that point. So remember, I started off flying high as a kite. And then I kind of plateaued and I started petering down,
Okay.
right? So I started petering down, not because I didn't work hard. I would work two full-time jobs. So at this time, now I'm a 22-year-old, probably at that time making as much as a captain. I'm coming here to basically like a day off or just run my calls and go home.
Right.
So obviously probably not the best employee or best member, as in like, hey, having the core care. So he corners me and he says, "You're getting in this next engine company class, correct?" And I go, and I'm brushing my teeth about shift change. I'm like, leaving. I guess I am. So my point is, with someone holding you accountable, someone speaking into you, there have been moments in my career like that that had changed the course of my development to improve and succeed. And sometimes, you just don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I don't. Sometimes you just don't know how you can speak into somebody in a certain way, right? They might be lost at this moment, but it can improve in a second, within a
Definitely.
second.
Definitely. Okay. All right. And how long did you spend as a backstep firefighter before you decided to promote? And part two of that question is, why did you decide to promote?
Backstep firefighter, I want to say 12 years, probably. I want to say, give or take. And so I think it was just a natural transition. I had taken a couple of tests, basically done well with the master firefighter position, and then it just trans. So we have the ability to jump that position from master firefighter to lieutenant. I can't lie. There is a primary motivation that you're not riding the ambulance anymore. So, there is that. I think it's just one of those natural career progressions where you go, okay, I'm gonna take the next step, right? So study for that, and then basically jumped into that switch past master firefighter, jumped into the lieutenant role. Luckily, I was still so the train basically brought me back to 16, right? And then I was able to be under that leadership and ride the front seat there. And we had a tiller truck and an engine company, a group of guys, good personalities. And then basically that's where I promoted out of into the lieutenant role, into another float, now in a float position as a lieutenant.
Okay. All right. All right. And then why captain now?
So captain, So it was funny. So I was in lieutenant role, and this is good for anybody, honestly. The buddy of mine that I was talking about before we started, we talked for days, and one of his best analogies is like, I think it was a, he talks about a lobster, right? A lobster always looks for a bigger shell. I can't remember if it's a lobster or another type of animal. Like
Okay.
if it ceases to grow, basically,
Right.
unless it grows out of the shell. So basically, one of those. So when I went, and the reason why I'm saying this is because as a lieutenant, I went to another battalion, completely different battalion that I hadn't worked in, and that really grew me a lot. Although I had a chance to stay with my friends, I went there, then I got a phone call saying you can come back, and I was like, I was even considering not coming back, but I came back, loved it, right? Took the captain's test. In my heart at that time, I felt like I wasn't ready because everyone tries to give you the train of thought that you're doing the same job, you just get more pay. And it's the same conversation you have as a, I don't know how you delineate it, but as a backstep and a master or backstep and a technician. And I would venture to say that that is a wrong train of thought, because when you see a technician versus a backstep firefighter, you know the difference. You can smell it, you can hear it, you just know the difference, right? And I feel like it's the same thing with a lieutenant and a captain. When you know there's a like when you know the difference, you know a captain and a lieutenant. And at that time when I took the first test, I actually ranked the lowest. I made it on the list, but I ranked the lowest, right? And I knew in my heart I was like, I wasn't ready. So it took me another 2 years, the next round, to get promoted. So looking back on it, I go like, I'm so glad that didn't happen. And now, like I say, just the way your, I guess, careers progress, that year was year 17. All right, time to go on to the captain position, right? So seniority wise, we'll say a middle of the row. So when the captain position happened, again, another opportunity to grow, go somewhere you don't know, right? So best buddy of mine, I go, hey man, like now I'm a captain. I'm like, hey, we or I was a lieutenant then. He's like, hey, why don't you come back to the first battalion? This is like the aggressive, so to speak, battalion. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, bro, what are you saying? Like, you're good? No, like you're crazy. Just come back. He's like, no, I'm good. So he had gone to the third battalion, and he was hanging out at station eight. I was like, man, maybe he's got something to say, right? So he's under a really good chief man. So like basically I promoted as a captain. I go to that battalion, and boy, did it open my eyes, right? And I'm like, man, these guys get it too. Different, area, but these guys get it too. And really, like, it grew me, because now I'm like, okay, I've been in this battalion, I've been in this battalion, I've been over here, and and it's funny, like, those guys taught me a lot too, because they're really good at all aspects of the job. It was like, and when I'm talking about all aspects, we're talking about EMS as well, right? I go to a cardiac arrest, and boom, 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 everything's going well. Then I go, hey, I have gaps in my knowledge. Show me how. Show me what. And we took time, and it's open audience. Everyone's plugged in. I'm sure that we you could, you talk about EMS at a kitchen table in any firehouse today, they're like, ah, you know what I mean? And that was eye-opening. We need to figure out how to deliver that so it makes sense to everybody, because it is part of our job, right? As well as fire. I'm not saying one is better than another. We need to take all aspects serious. Like, if you're really curious, be curious, right? I'm curious. I don't want to be a medic ever, right? But I want to know how this whole thing works. So when I'm watching someone not do well, like, I want to know, like, how can I help? What do you need? What's going on? I'm not just sitting there clueless, right? So they open that up. So this is a big, long answer, but my point is, when those 2 years came up and the position was ready to go, like, open, the station was ready to open, I took my opportunity to take Rockville, because it's, I would say, it's one of the hardest stations to manage, but it has there it's a awesome place to be, honestly, and it's grown me as a captain for the past year, and I am super excited for the next year.
With that being said, in your opinion, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
So aggressive. So this is a really good question, because I think we've had changes in culture, or recently, where basically, bidding on calls and doing this and that has changed by policy. There as a fire department leader, I think the attitude is, like, I want to pull the reins back. I don't have to want to push you forward, right? So if I have someone that is super aggressive, and this could be in the firehouse, right? It could be in the fire ground, but it's for the good of the company. I could have a conversation after you with you afterwards, right? And say, hey, man, I get it, been there, done that, but let's, like, not do that again, because, like, it doesn't mean you're not a fireman. And that's the thing. I think it's hard for people. We associate the two together, right? Like, if I'm not this aggressive person, over the top aggressive, no one will see me as a fireman, right? And then if I, but I also don't want you to stop doing that, because you, and it's funny, it's probably the biggest one is, like, the analysts that have the biggest discipline, right? You're invited to the party. Right. And you have to stand outside, right? You're invited to the party, you have to stand outside, right? And I've been there, and you have to have probably the biggest discipline and say, hey, I'm here for them, and I'm here for the people as well, right? This, well, 100% for the citizens, and then, as well as for the firefighters, for anything that happens, right? So those folks can tend to do a little bit more fire department things when they should probably focus. And I want those guys to be aggressive in the right ways, right? And the same thing in the firehouse. Same thing in the firehouse. If and I empower my folks. If you find something that's good to the company, just loot me in. Loot me in until you can't, right? So, like, if you're hanging up a picture that creates company pride, who should complain about that, right? It's good for the company, right? Now, if at the end of it, the end result is some chief or someone that's responsible for the building says, hey, you can't do that, I'm like, all right, let's take it down. Like, our bad. We thought it'd be fine. We didn't look past it. I think if we just own our mistakes, we can resolve a lot of these communication errors. Like, hey, the intent was for the good of the company. And that's my point is aggressive to me is it has to be, in our policies. Like, honestly, there was a lot of thought behind a policy. I don't know if you heard about it. It's really long. There's a lot of, it's like more of like a college paper, but there's a lot of thought put behind it. And one of the key points is that it has to be, this is where I was going with your aggressive question. Your aggressiveness has to be deliberate. Your aggressiveness has to be defendable, and your aggressiveness has to be communicated. If you follow those in the on the outside and on the fire, on the inside, fire ground in the firehouse, I think you're good. I think there's no one can really, if you communicate it to somebody, hey, I'm gonna go VEIS, right? And then you go, hey, I'm gonna go VEIS this floor. Hey, the backside says there's a fire below you. Time out, right? Or, hey, I'm gonna do this in the firehouse. Hey, hold on, get it. Not saying that you can't. I'm just saying, did you think of this, this, and that? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Now with becoming, which I'm not sure once you got in the fire service, if you ever saw yourself becoming a captain, but as a captain now, does holding that title, does it mean something different to you, or
Absolutely.
okay.
Absolutely. We spoke of this pre-show, right? I wish we just go we just include that next time. But conferences, right? So right. So going a little back in time. So as a float, I'm floating in the department. You don't really get a lot of responsibility. You're kind of like this like nomad, right, so to speak. You come in, you gain some rapport within a shift for the moment, and then you kind of go, all right, I'll see you guys later, right? And if you develop good relationships, they'll include you to their shift outings. But could you imagine it? Every Christmas is a little sad. You're like, are you guys, they're talking about the shift Christmas party. You're like, what about me? But the point I'm saying is, so you don't have as many responsibilities. You don't have a core group that you're focusing on, really project managing. You might have other tasks, but not a lot specifically. So I decided to go back into my hustler mentality. So I became a realtor, right? So I became a realtor, and anything that I do correctly, and I go 100%, right? So as that was developing, I started seeing success there, right? So now I'm going to conferences, I'm going to this thing. And it's like I realized that I cannot be a good officer unless if I'm there. I have to be present. You know what I mean? So I knew that at some point, like something, this thing is gonna pull me away. This thing is gonna pull me away, right? And I'm going to the conference that I will shout out is Training Days. I used to be called the Annie Fredericks one, but Training Days. Alexandria, I believe
They do it in
it's
Greensboro.
yep, Greensboro. Awesome place. Wells is awesome dude. He answers all my questions. They take care of you. They're doing the right thing. And they collectively brought a bunch of lectures, and they talk about that. So that really hit home for me as an officer. And when I realized it was taking me away from the fire department, because now you're at the firehouse, you're answering calls, right? Because you got customers or clients, right? And it's becoming a nuisance. I go, talk to my wife. It's like, it's either this or that. I'm either leaving the fire department to become a full-time realtor, or I'm going to be a fireman, and that's it. I'm not doing one or the other. It's pulling me in two different directions. So you have a responsibility as an officer to your people, period. Period. Yeah, you're a backseat firefighter, you have responsibility to your crew, sure. But you can come in and do your thing in your own little window. You can say, I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna do my training, I'm gonna participate. Then you can go home, right? You did a good job, right? You helped others. But when you become an officer and you're responsible for a crew, right? You're responsible for their development. You're responsible for leaving it better than it was when you received it, right? And if that means it was really good for you, then maintaining it. That's really even maintaining anything is hard in life. House, car, your family. Maintaining a good thing is really hard if you do it correctly. So it is a big difference, a big responsibility, in my opinion, to be a captain of a ship or an officer. And if you're floating, that doesn't mean this captain, this responsibility is not, not responsible as well. You have a responsibility to, in my opinion, to develop yourself and the weaknesses now, so when you do receive a station assignment, that you're ready to go. You know what I mean? You're gonna learn. Use it when you hit that. When I hit that station assignment, oh, I learned a lot, and they and folks that didn't agree with me let you know. They'll let you know, right? And then it takes some self-reflection to allow those discussions to say I was wrong, because I was never assigned as a lieutenant to the station, but yeah, like a lot of that, it all loops back into your question.
So I'm assuming you gave up the realty side.
I did completely, and one of the hardest ones was I'll tell you this, I have a friend who is a entrepreneur, does really well for himself, and he asked me to purchase a house for him, and I left 40K on the table. And I said, I can't do it. I already had a date on set on my planner saying, this day I'm done. No more phone calls. Whatever I have left on the books is finishing, no more. And it was dangling in front of me like, it's low hanging fruit, and I said, no, I can't do it. So I referred it, and that was it.
Now, I will say that's real big because in my traveling and my talking and hell, my experience, I understand, certain in this day and time especially, things are crazy expensive, inflation, all that stuff, right? And I'm not saying you can't have a part-time job, but I love how you hit on the point that your side hustle, part-time, whatever side business, whatever you want to call it, was starting to get in the way of your main priority. And you realized it and you're like, hey, nope, one or the other. I say that to say, I just can't understand though why we have officers, hell, even firemen too, that have their side hustles where when they show up to work at their career departments, their side hustle's priority. And it's like, well, I gotta handle this first. I gotta handle that. And then they neglect, especially to me, it's especially important if you're a company officer. Because if you're dealing with your side hustle, you're not spending the time developing the firefighters that work for you.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. I think it's it you might be able to, right?
You
I'll say
might. You
you
might.
might be able to, but you're not effective. It's impossible to say you're effective, right? Because you might be able to day by day ensure that a shift is going, but there's no way that you have any type of vision or projection. And this is also includes the folks below, like directly below you. I'm not talking about the probationary fire. Right, I'm talking about like I'm a captain and I have a lieutenant. How am I feeding into him, right? But I also have to touch all those other individuals because they should have an ability to have a relationship with me. So my day is full until like I get back to the office at night and I'm still typing away till 11 p.m. Right? So yeah, I have all this stuff like going on. You might have missed one of those pieces in that whole puzzle. Right. So, but I don't think side hustle is, I get it
Yeah,
because
absolutely, absolutely.
So like the thing is that it was funny because again, we talk about like motivation, right? Anyone for at least for us, anyone below master fireman, they're like, oh, you could just work overtime. I'm like, so you're telling me I rode the ambulance for 24 hours. And then I can ride the ambulance for another 24 hours on overtime. Now I'm good. I'd rather just go be a Walmart greeter. You know what I mean? I don't want to. It's a lot on our bodies and our mental to ride an ambulance 24/7. So I get the side hustle. I get it because you're just like, I'd rather take a lower pay cut because my happiness is, and I, you know, you have, like you said, inflation, you have responsibilities to your family. You might be able to, single income owner. I love the grind. People with grind, give me them all day, right? Give me those guys all day. The guys that provide and say, hey, I'm gonna do a second job, that means they're motivated. Now, that's the part where I was saying, like, you get a captain that notices that, and he corners you, and he says, all right, I see something in you. You listen, right? You start listening and you do it. Incorporate it as a firefighter, right? Incorporate it into your side hustle. I'm like, okay, this guy's feeding into me. But then I'm telling you right now, at some point, that side hustle is going to try to pull you one way once you start. If you decide to continue up, now you can stay as a backseat fireman and be an awesome backseat fireman and continue your side hustle, right? That's okay too, right? I just don't see how, I mean, there might be an outlier out there, like, an Elon Musk of the fire department that can do this. Yeah, I'm not saying that guy's not out there. I just say, at least for me, and I think in your experience, you can agree with me that once you have two full-time jobs, it's impossible.
No, hell yeah.
Well, a family too. That was another thing I forgot to mention. What about my family? So I was going out to listings, going out to buyers that take you all over town. Then I'm still working at work. Then what happens to my family? My relationship with my family. I got two daughters, and kind of, the whole thing, like, you put 18 marbles in a jar and take one away for every time your kid grows up. You start seeing how many years you have. That's insane. There's a lot of opportunity costs, or, like, you're exchanging these things because of these other things, So make it worth it. Make it worth it.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned this. I want to definitely hit on it. And I kind of know what your answer is going to be, but
Yeah.
how important is outside training?
Outside training is very important. It gives you different perspectives. I have had, so the outside training, once you get a taste of the right outside training, that's the other thing too. It's tough to know what's right, right? Because honestly, and if you're hungry, you're gonna start seeing it, and you have some good dudes that recommend it. There's a lot of good outside training, like video locations, like Fire Nuggets is one that I've gone to for stuff. And then like magazines like FDNY, they have that pro membership. They send you the magazine. There's a lot of stuff from that that came from Battalion Chief. But like the outside training, the lectures are good, but the hot classes, the hands-on training, probably one of the best, but you got to locate where. So shout out to firedepartmenttrainingnetwork.com. I've gone there for 4 years. They have a live fire training camp. They have I've done that one, the fire ground company officer one, and they also had RIT training. Hands down, one of the best trainings I've been to. Can seem expensive, was probably one of the most initially anxious moments of my career to go outside training, because I'm driving 8 hours away with nobody and meeting new people. And everyone was there, and it had some good dudes like Tim Klett, Pressler, I think McCormick from Orlando was there, a bunch of good dudes, and they're open. And that's one thing I've noticed, is that all the good dudes are wide open, right? You can approach them and they know that you're into the game. So the importance of it was basically, we need to recertify our folks. Now, the importance of outside training is because we have a lack in training. I think that's the general theme, all fire departments, right? You just erase that top, the date, and just like in the name, it's like the same thing everywhere, right? So there's a lack of training, and I think the importance is of recertification to re-energize, so that those lectures do that, the hot training assists with that, and then you can bring back some of those ideas. So fortunately, so another mentor of mine, Chief Gibson, he's seen something in me to say, hey, he was the battalion chief of the training academy. Oh yeah, this is where I was coming back from 16. He was driving me on the ambulance when I was a rookie at 16. Now he's Chief Gibson at the training academy. We crossed paths and he saw something in me. And he's like, hey, can you assist with co-leading the company officer leadership academy? So it had got snuffed for, I think, a couple rounds. And then he was like, we got to redo it. We got to restart. So, I've done the la previous, so that was the first one. So let's call it three rounds. So the first one, second, and third round, right? And the reason why I'm saying this is because I went to Fire Department Training Network's company officer training. And I brought a broad ton of ideas from that to here. Because they did a really good job. They gave resource material and gave thought dynamics for these company officers. And if I didn't have that experience, then I'm trying to like basically put together from nothing on scratch what I think a good company officer would be, right?
Right.
So I think outside training gives you different perspectives, and some folks are doing it right. And then, it's funny, I tell this to another person, like I plagiarize a shit ton of things because it makes me more efficient,
Right.
right? I'll give credit like I'm doing now. I'm giving credit where credit's due, right? But like, why would I want to start, typing like page one, blah, 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 when I someone's already laid it out, And it's like, let's just do it. They're doing it correctly, and we're gonna put our own spin because, certain fire apparatus work better in different areas, and this is for us here. So
Right.
I think it's really good. Outside training is really good.
Now you mentioned training days, and I was able to go last year. They were in Greensboro, and actually I'm going in like 3 weeks back to
They
Greensboro
open?
because, huh?
They're opening now? I think it's usually well, at least for us, it's September.
Oh, well, so I've never been to Alexandria, which
Okay.
I plan on going because I hear it's the atmosphere where it's held, it looks
Oh,
beautiful.
it's amazing. It's amazing.
So, but like I guess they call it on the road training days. And so here in like 3 weeks, I'm going up to Greensboro with a buddy of mine to go sit, listen to lectures and get to talk. And like you said, you get to meet these dudes. There's always a social at night. You go to a restaurant, they're there. You can shoot the shit with them. They can tell you things, they can send you things, email, whatever you got, and it's just a great atmosphere where it's a recharge because like I saw somebody posted, a friend of mine posted like it was a picture of a battery indicator like the battery's low, it's dying. And he was like, I need a recharge. And that definitely gets you recharged. It gets you reinvigorated. You forget about the bullshit you deal with your organization because they all organizations have them. You're gonna deal with people that are just gonna drive you crazy. But I just can't hit more on the importance of outside training, getting outside of the four walls of your station, the way your department does things, and see how other departments are doing it, and just the fact that you can meet other people and go play, get dirty with the rest of the people there. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It definitely is. And so here's the one thing I must put as a basically be careful of for outside training in the group think, right? The group think is that you're gonna go here like these guys don't care. But you know what I mean? Be careful of that, be aware of that because sometimes you'll come back and you're kind of like separate yourself, right? And
Yes.
that's not, and that's their message is not to do that. But it's hard to avoid because you've been supercharged with cups overfilling. And just so, like, one of these trainings, and going back to outside training, doesn't have to be just fire department. Another chief of mine, Chief McDonald, she hit me up. She's like, you need to take this leadership training. I'm like, here we go again. Another leadership class, another person who wants to tell you about leadership. And I took her advice because I would say, like, another person, it's like the, what do you call it? The movie ratings, right? You get one movie to recommend to me, and if your movie recommendations suck, I'm never asking you again. You know what I mean? So her rating is like high, right? So it's like, all right, so she recommended this training, and it's leadership. And it's basically it's with an archon. I'm on week two is coming up, but I took week one already. It's 3 weeks. And they do it the West Point way, right? Leadership the West Point way. And their background is basically talking about how these folks saw the differences in generations, right? They had the folks from World War, I think one or no, probably World War II, where these guys were, the lieutenant would be like, charge, and these guys would get out, go. Not they saying they liked it, they would just do it, right? And then they started seeing a difference in the soldier when, they went to the next war, I believe they quoted Vietnam. These guys would say, charge, and just be like, nah, like, like I might die, So like it's a different comp, and it's just a different way to leadership, and they get into leadership and followership. And then they start talking about other things like influencing, right? Influencing, but understanding the different motivations and the different generations, and then the science behind all of this, right? So I would say like beware of just taking all that stuff and coming back and creating some type of separation, folks, because the delivery is it, right? And I think we always like the football player that hands the football back to the referee. But that scores all the touchdowns. I want to be that guy, right? And he didn't have to say anything to you. He just did it, So
No, I get you, because it's I've learned, past mistakes. Like, you don't come back and go, "Hey, listen, we've been doing everything wrong. We suck." Well, like, no, because everyone's gonna be like, okay, and then you're gonna turn yourself off. Nobody's gonna listen to you. But if you come back, like for us, what we like to do, me and a buddy of mine, we like to come back, we'll talk about it, and then like we'll go to our training chief and we'll be like, hey, listen, these are some of the ideas that we found. And then he'll be like, oh, okay, and then we'll show it to him, or we'll show him a slide or PowerPoint, whatever the case may be. And then we kind of get that ball rolling. Because it's hard as passionate firefighters. When you come back, it's like within the next day, you want everybody to be as passionate as you. And that's not going to happen.
100%. It's not gonna happen.
And I get it. But if we can infect positively one person, and then maybe that one person talks to this person, that's how change occurs. And I get it. Change is slow. Like, hell, I'll be fully transparent. Our department right now, we're kind of battling. We have a good core group of individuals that want to see change for the good, but we're battling some waves, and it's okay. But we're just trying to do it all. It's all baby steps.
100%. You always have to understand it's slow. A good change is slow. I like the word effect because honestly, you go to a station, right? You just need one person. One person to be curious. You go out back, you go, let's do this together. And then the other guy's like, what are they doing? And then like the next guy's like, what are they doing? Right? And it could be, and it doesn't have to be, you just need one person. Now, if you're a place solo, people listen, get out of there.
It's hard. It's hard.
Get out of there. Because if you're solo, it's going to be really hard. Or prepare to just basically batten down, right? Because you gotta win. Just focus on winning one person, right? Don't try to focus on winning the team if it's that bad. Focus on winning one person, right? And then just keep it going. But it's understand it's going to be slow. Right. I was talking to another captain about this. He's from Howard. He helps us out with our presentation, helping us with Leadership Academy. And I was like, you know what? I really don't think I was telling him, I was like, I don't think like do you think the Carolina Panther players, go like, ah, oh, we suck. They're in the NFL. Like, no one wants to be on a sucky team. Like, even if you know what I mean? Those guys, I'm sure those guys aren't like, I'll get a good paycheck and whatever. I'm gonna go out and play and just suck. Now I'm sure they have the end in mind. You know what I mean? And I think it's the same thing with our teams here. Like, I get everyone says, like, well, we're hiring the wrong people, they're here for the money. But I do truly believe that no one wants to be on a sucky team. You know what I mean? No one wants to wear that jersey. Because we kind of do, right? We have our station numbers on our helmets. That's your jersey, bro? Like, yeah, you're 2-11 or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, right? Right? Yeah, like no one wants that associated with them. No matter as much as they want to say they don't care, I think they do. I think
Yeah.
they do. I don't need to call you out, but I think I have a theory. I wish I could prove it, but I really think that people want to win, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because, like you said, I mean, surely to God, the way I look at it is, I'm sure there's not a person out there that wants to be like, man, I want to suck at my job.
No.
You know what I mean? But at some point, though, I think the hardest part is getting them to realize, hey, you're not as good as you think you are. Like, you have to put in the work. It doesn't happen overnight. In order, and I've heard the analogies of the fire service and athletes, and I get it. But like, you look at like Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady went out day after day throwing footballs,
I bet
something
it.
basic, but he
Yeah.
kept doing it. So I hate whenever like you mentioned, hey, let's go pull some handlines. I already know how to do that. Okay, what's wrong with or let's go throw ladders, or let's go conduct a search. Like, you have to continuously do those reps to get good at it.
Correct. And I agree with you there. I think this is the hardest puzzle for folks to put together is, let's say you do have the senior fireman, right? Maybe I think one thing that we're trying to RMD right now is basically take them at face value. Take them at face value. You're good at pulling lines, okay? That's cool. Let's just create a training scenario that involves pulling a line, but to an objective, right? And if it doesn't work well, I think that it's out there now, right? But if it does work well, because you took them at face value, then we increase the intensity or how hard the training evolution is. You know what I mean? I think a lot of us as folks, we're like, are you really good? Let me see you start from square one first. And then I give you no trust. I give you no value, right? We're kind of looking down. I've done that incorrectly before. Right, I go like, here's the halogen, you know what I mean? Here's the forks, here's the ads, here's the pick, you know? It's like, and I'm sure people are like, here we go again, like another officer going, here's the halogen, you know? All right, dude, like, all right, tell me how you're gonna, take care of this Adam's right lock, you know? What are you thinking in your head, you know? Tell me how you plan to go through this door, or like, roll up doors, et cetera. It might be okay, let's go on, let's keep going. And now if you're crushing it, then I got to figure out how do I continue to challenge you, right? And then if I'm done, it's time to talk to you about the transition, promotion, or moving to a bigger and better station, right? And really try to push you out. Push you out in a good way, right?
No, I'm tracking you. Okay. All
Yeah.
right. As far as which we kind of hit on it, but I kind of want to go a little bit more in it. So
Yep.
you are a company officer. So essentially you are a leader of a group of individuals. But when you decided to go that route and you weren't able to obtain that title, what does leadership mean to you? What kind of leader did you want to become?
Very good question. I've had a slew of leaders. I think one of the biggest ones is fair and approachable is probably the biggest thing. And the thing is that also, I guess, direct, right? But not in like a asshole way. It's just direct. It's tough conversations are probably the biggest weakness that we all have. It's probably our kryptonite, right?
Facts,
And
yes.
yeah, kryptonite and communications. I'll put a blurb in here, just if I can earmark this question, because this is really important to me. So if you ever watch the show Billions on
I have,
HBO,
yes.
okay, there is a they have a psychiatrist or psychologist inside of their office, right? Or their financial analyst. And the point is so that they can go talk to her and then leave there and crush these big ticket items, right? To be jackals in the office. So, I saw that, I was like, this is interesting, right? And I go, I'm starting to get into what I'm trying taking down this rabbit hole is human performance, right? And what does human performance mean for us as officers is probably communication, right? So I saw that, and it's now in the back of my head. And then now I'm starting to do all these things. And we had a call that, there was a building explosion in Gettysburg happened, right? I was on it. And yeah, these guys did awesome. I wouldn't thought nothing about it, right? And weeks later, I'm sitting in the kitchen and I'm just going, sweating. My palms are sweating. I'm starting to have a panic attack. Random. Not even thinking about it. I'm just making coffee, like you see me here sit today. Just boom, hits me. I was like, all right, well, maybe I should talk to somebody, right? So yeah, I'm talking, so I'm like, schedule it, whatever. I'll talk to somebody, be done after the one conversation, bingo bango, go right back to it, right? And again, going back to building system back, right? So I'm like, all right, so schedule it. Like, I talk to the to so anyone that's listening to this right now, if you want to invest in your people to be jackals on the fire ground, get this mental call Montgomery County, link to me, I'll get you to get this for your folks, right? This doesn't have to just do with people saying I'm an alcoholic or have this issue. If you want a competitive advantage, you need to talk to somebody. I'm talking about competitive advantage, because if you can't do, you need to take care of your shit so you can deal with these difficult conversations, right? So I talked to her, and now I talk to our do doctor basically every on a scheduled basis. And now I'm going, like, communication is the, if I would say, versus being strength versus speed for an officer versus anything else that you can put on any type of virtue on the table, communication is the biggest thing that you need to work on, period, point blank, point blank. And this communication with our mental wellness doctor, it pr has proved valuable, because it gives you a competitive advantage for the tough conversations with our human resources, because that's our biggest asset in the fire. It's human resources. I could talk to the damn fire engine all day, but ain't gonna do nothing, right? The person behind the pump and the person on the line is going to do it, and these folks are going to only get better if I communicate to each of them individually in the way they communicate, right? So shit, I forgot the question. But I think
What kind of leader did you want to become?
so, and that's my point. The leader that is able to communicate to folks, right, whether it's good or it's bad, all of that, right? That one that is completely open, right, to yeses, but I'm going to tell you no as well, right? And I think that's a part. I think firefighters and others, basically, if you want me to be the transparent, we can be transparent. At some point in this conversation, you might have to facilitate a no, and you're going to have to be okay with it, right? Even if it's not, if it's against what you're thinking, you have to be okay with me telling you no. We got to be friends still, because if you want to be transparent, right? If you don't want transparency, then it's like my kids, like, then I'll tell you what you need to know, like. But that's what I hate, that adage, like, hey, treat us like, treat us like adults. Well, you want adults, you get adult privileges, but you also get adult, responsibilities. You want me to be dad? I can be dad and handle your relationships for you, right? But I think you should, as a member, handle your own relationships. Like, if you piss someone else off, hey, go talk to them. Maybe you guys can figure out the communication between you where you lost it, right? And if I need to step in, I'll step in. But I think once you figure out, they figure it out, because we want that captain that steps up for, like, hey, you don't talk to my guys, I talk to you. Like, no, I'm out. Like, I want, in theory, I want to look like that guy. I want to be the general Pat. Like, hey, you know what I mean? But I also want to empower these guys. I don't want to take the empowerment away. Say, handle those yourself. Now, if there's any type of disrespect, I will step in, right? But if you're going to be, let the men handle the men stuff, and it can be dealt with the firehouse kind of,
Absolutely. One of my pet peeves is when you'll hear talking definitely, but for me talking to other firemen, you hear like, I want accountability. Okay. But then when accountability comes, it's like, whoa, you know what I
Exactly.
mean? But
Whoa, time out. Whoa, slow down. I want to know more.
And my thing is like I get it for the way like my growing up, maturing, hopefully as you age, you should get mature. And I can wholeheartedly say that my wife is one of the reasons why I have matured in a certain way because
Don't
women.
give it. No, we don't want this recorded. So now my wife's gonna hear this too. You know what I mean? That's crazy. You might as well cancel this there. Because you're right. You're on the nose.
Dude,
You're 100% on the
I'm
nose.
telling you, like I was one of those, like I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. And granted, I am still like that, but I look at it as like, okay, if I go this route, this could happen, which lead to this. All right. So then if I go this route, but like you have to, like you said, with definitely with being a leader, like I don't expect my company officer to hold my hand. Like I want to do things the right way, but if I fuck up, I need to own it. You can't go, wait. No, you can't just start putting excuses on other things. You said you had it, you didn't. Take it, take it, take it, you know,
Take your lick.
take your leg, take it on the chin and keep rolling. But like we have to get firemen to understand, and not only firemen, but also chief officers, because going to these conferences, you'll hear chiefs, like fire chiefs, deputy chiefs, battalion chiefs say, I fucked up, I owned it. And what's real is when those chief officers can take criticism, constructive, positive criticisms from firefighters and go, you're right. Not because I hold this title, everything I say is perfect. Like, no, you don't need yes men and women in your corner. You need people that are going to tell you, hey, respectfully, chief, you fucked up. And just own it.
Just own it. Yeah, I think ownership in front of folks goes a long way. And it's tough because it's a fine line. You walk this tightrope stuff as a leader because you go, I don't want to be this guy always saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I did this wrong, I did this wrong, you know, because you also, there's a confidence thing there too, right? But I think folks do appreciate the openness about that stuff, right? About, because the thing is that I think that's the part about what I was trying to say is there's a whole, it's not just, the whole thing is like, as an officer, there's a self-confidence thing that you're dealing with that a lot of folks don't receive, right? Because I think our issue is we don't get a lot of feedback. You know what I mean? So as an, once you get in an officer position, you don't get a lot of good feedback on how you're doing from your above you. And nor do you want to go below you say, how am I doing? Right? So you're just going in your head go like, am I doing good? You know what I mean? So it's like, and it's like, was that the good decision? It has to be the good decision, and you could just go in the, you know what I mean, in the right, in the wrong direction. But I think, as I was saying, sometimes having that outside source to say you talk to somebody and say, hey, okay, yeah, that was principled, that was a good idea. Maybe you should go back and have that conversation again. Damn it, you're right. You know what I mean? Damn it, you're right. You know. So, and I include that and include your spouse. My spouse has been my, you know, sounding board, you know, for a while. So she helps you out because she's outside. She doesn't know anything about the fire department, but she knows what sounds right and what sounds wrong. You know what I mean? So, yeah, exactly. So, no, yeah, that's leadership is a tough dynamic. And this class I was telling you about, something you always have to continue to work on. It's a skill that you could have to continue to work on. The issue is I had. Is that we have an inundation of leadership in books and podcasts and stuff like that. So finding out again which ones you want to spend your time in for efficiency purposes, you know?
Definitely. On a side note, I will say Billions was awesome when I watched it up until the last season and the season before that. I was like,
I was
what
out.
the fuck is
Yeah,
going
I
on
agree.
here?
I agree with you. It was good. So anyone listening to this, I think it was season two is when I stopped. I forget, or I what well, you're saying. There's a at some point you're gonna be like, what the?
When Bobby leaves for his hiatus,
I was out.
the show took a plunder, and then he comes back, and then I was like,
They
dude,
fucked that up.
they
They
fucked
fucked
that
that up.
show up
Yeah, that show was
badly.
off the chain. Yeah. So yeah, if anyone's watching this or listening to this Give it 2 seasons and
Yep. Well, but
then
after season
quit.
two, whenever you're wondering where's
The
Bobby,
redhead
stop
dude, when
watching
that
it.
redhead dude leaves,
Yeah, stop watching it because it killed the whole
it's
vibe of the
trash.
show.
It's trash.
Oh man. Okay. How important is physical fitness in relation to the fire service?
That's great. It's funny because I went through a lot of transitions there too. And
Everyone does. Yeah.
yeah, because I don't know, age, apparatus,
Age plays a factor,
right?
for sure.
And then even the style of workouts, because I mean, come on, like you watch Instagram, you're like, this guy looks swole as hell. I want to be like him, right? And then you watch, David Goggins, and I want to run marathons, and you get back, and then the fitness program has a new flavor of the month they want to push out, right? So you start off in the academy, cardiovascularly fit, probably not the most strength, right? And then you start touching stuff like on the truck company, like the freaking gas power fan. You're like, man, I can't lift this for shit, you know? So you know what I mean? So like you're like, all right, I'm gonna get swole, right? And then you transition into like basically so we had like, remember when P90X was cool? So I was like, man, P90X is cool as hell. And then like I said, this fan, I can barely pick this up. I could stretch, like I can run, but like how good am I? You know what I mean? If I can't pick up anything. So, went to the get strong phase, but then now I'm like breathing hard when I go up steps, and it's like, okay. And then, some things start to hurt, right? And then, so like that now, basically, knees are hurting, probably, stuff like that. My back kind of hurt a little bit. So I incorporated some stuff, in a mix of things, right? So like you listen to Tom Brady. I don't know if you're into his TB12 program. I ran across it. He's a big pliability guy. There's an app that a guy recommended makes called Pliability, and honestly, we all know the answers. Like we know how not to be fat, and we know how to be well, right? Stop eating carbs. Stop eating, drinking. Stop eating sugars. Right? Everyone, all of us know the answers. Like get more sleep. So the same thing with goes with exercise, like stretch, be better, don't lift incorrectly, have a balanced stuff like that. So like I think it's very important for you to incorporate physical fitness into your training regimen at home and at work, especially at work. I mean, we're getting paid, there's a gym there. Take advantage of that. Like you're getting like we pay gym memberships at home. They're paying you to work out at work. So take the 2 hours and work out or do something, right? Because the stats are out there and we need you on the fire ground to perform, right? And it's eye-opening what, especially when you do rituals, like what is needed to it, you can try to do this mechanical advantage thing or the special loop or this not. At the end of the day, I've gone to RIT trainings. At home and in outside trainings, at the end of the day, it comes out of brute force. It comes out like absolutely cardiovascular and brute force, right? Like you want that chongo to pick up the guy because like he's gonna pick that dude up, so like and as an officer, you are there to also able to spell somebody. Like if you're running up a high rise with racks, I can take the racks off their shoulder and I'll take it for a couple flights and turn it back on. So you can't say as an officer, oh, I don't have to carry as much, but I'm not also involved in physical fitness, right? Another plug is like I think exploring outside like martial arts. I think folks should do that because it humbles you. I started it at the prime age of 38 or 36, probably now, something like that. It's dumb. Younger, start earlier, but point of what I'm saying is that. You'll find that I was starting with my daughter and she quit in the first 30 days, but I'm still doing it. But you find that the guy that you didn't think could do anything kicks your ass. He kicks your ass. So it's like a constant reminder of never judge a book by its cover. Avoid confrontation in a physical way if you can. And if you and then if you have to, limit the damage, right? So and it gives you it lets you work out those things in your head because you have to be present in that state. So like I would say, I think finding the type of martial art for anybody is probably a good idea, to be honest. For us especially, because a lot of us I say have this aggressive or aggressiveness, right? And it needs to be calmed down a little bit, you know?
Definitely, for sure. Okay, all right. You kind of hit on how you've sought out and you speak to somebody professionally. So to me, that goes back to the wellness side. How important is it for firefighters to understand, like, listen, what we deal with on a daily basis, what we see, what we're potentially able to interact with, with the community. How important is it for, because firefighters have an issue, definitely from my experience, that I don't need help, I got it, I'm good. Like we are the helpers, but sometimes you're gonna need that help. And you've definitely hit on that. So how important is wellness?
Wellness is important, and it's funny because again, I was telling you about our experience about putting it into our program for company officers. We put it in there, and I have to basically observe. I'm watching this, and I'm present in the classroom, and our wellness person comes up, and this is the first iteration. And I'm like, she's doing something, and I'm like in the back, I'm like, this is dumb. Breathing techniques. And I'm sitting there as a leader going, stigmatizing this thing, right? As a leader, going like, this is, and I get people because you go like, I'm good. I'm a happy-go-lucky dude. I joke around, et cetera, et cetera. And then my story, I told you my story, and then I go still to this meeting, happy-go-lucky. And now it's improved me. And this is not, and this is quoting a chief, that was my lieutenant at 16. He talks about another podcast that hit me well. It was basically, he says, you got to take care of your home before you leave, right? As in your house, right? So your house includes your mind. And if you're not maintaining it, you're going to like leave you with a career with a pretty ratty home because you never dealt with this issue, right? And no one's saying that everyone has issues, right? No one's saying that. But I think there's a good idea just to have a check-in. If you're lucky enough that none of this worked away for some folks, also, right? But there is no like, please, if you're like the best communicator in the world, you need to have a podcast and show the rest of us, right? But if you, my point is like communication was really developing this mental wellness because we need to figure out how to talk to people. In general, so that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of little pieces that you can open, and then bring it back. It's like if you have relationships, right? Like a lot of those. Although I'm talking, she's part of a leg of our fire department. It's allowed me to also open up a conversation, like communication with my wife. I mean, and my kids, other people, right? I'm able to talk to other people well, and then it opens up doors. So why wouldn't you just do it? Like even if you're not sitting at home crying, right? And if you are, please do, right? But it's a good thing. It's not, it doesn't have to be like, you don't, I feel like a lot of it is seen as like magic tricks or something like that. Like, it's not that. It's not that at all. And I wish we could clip, like we were just talking about, I wish we could clip what I'm telling you about in Billions. Because Baltimore City, Chief Rudisill came to present, and he was talking about the Human Performance Initiative that they have, because FIDNY has a Human Performance Initiative that they're putting money into, because there's something here. So like, sports teams have psychologists for their players, and I think you see it in Hard Knocks with Kirk Cousins, to talk about this so they can crush it, right? So I'm going to take any competitive advantage I have so that I can crush it. Because I think, like I said, no one wants to be in a losing team. No one wants to be a loser, in my opinion. And you just fix, like, honestly, just take it. It's very important. Like, as much as physical fitness is, we were just talking about it, it's mental as well, you know?
For sure. Okay.
Yeah.
My last question I always like to ask the guests. Where would you like to see yourself before you decide to hang it up?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's tough. It was funny. A guy caught me the other day. So the first class I was telling you about, I was sitting there, jokester, idiot. So they're going, hey, I think it was the same question. Like, why'd you show up, and like, what are you gonna do for the farmer? Something like that. Idiot. This is what Chief Carr, one of our like well-known chiefs, right? Retired from us, went to, I think, the Carolinas or something. Forget where, but really good chief. And he gets to me, and I was like, I'm only here for the, I heard it was free food. Okay. Like, and I don't know anything about fire department. Like, to me, it's paramilitary. Didn't make any sense to me because I'm like, I can't get court-martialed, but you guys are telling me it should feel like that. Like, what? Like, I go home every night, and what? It's still a job, So a lot of this, like I said, a lot of the stuff wasn't really understood by me. So I said that, and then I go. I think he was like, so like you're saying, where do you see yourself? I said, plan to be in your job, sir, at some point, right? And I was half joke. I was mostly joking like that, right? So then one of my guys in the food class just sees me become a captain. He's like, damn, I thought you were joking. Like, what the hell? You know? And I was like, honestly, I don't see myself. I'm personally right now, I don't see myself in that position. I want everything to be natural, right? Everything's got to be natural. And I do have my faith. Basically, I pray about stuff, and if things so happen to be in that position, so happen to be. If I stay here as a captain, that's cool, right? What I would love for our department to do, I would say we're younger as in organization-wise, right? Is that I think to the better answer your question is, I would love to leave something behind where we're better than we were, right? So a lot of it has to do with, like, for me, is passing on our history, right? So like one thing, so like people always look up fire porn in their stations, right? And they're looking up all these other departments. We should have our own fire porn. Right, we should have our, like, you know
True.
what I mean? Like, I want you
True.
to watch our fire porn,
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I have a really big, heart for capturing our history and then passing it on so that we have an identity. So I want to create an identity for our folks. I want folks to see Montgomery County as a place that they go for outside training. Right, we have a new fire chief, who's awesome, by the way. Awesome. New leadership is making moves. And he was actually, I saw him at training days. Basically, I think he's the chief there. He was a chief. I'm pretty sure he was a chief in Alexandria. And he introduced the training days. So he's big into professional development. So I'm hoping that when I'm hanging up, we have created an identity that, people were like, hey, we're Montgomery County. That's the spot. You know what I mean? That's the spot. We're watching their videos. We're getting all their knowledge, because we have a lot of good folks, a lot of good places, a lot of knowledge to share.
I love your answer. I always like to ask, I guess, because every answer is different, and there's always a reason as to why they say what they say. So I always like to end the show like that, but I do want to say thank you for coming on. Thank you for speaking the truth. Like, my biggest takeaway from you is, well, one of my biggest takeaways is how you mentioned, you have to make that decision between, am I going to be a firefighter? Am I going to be a fire captain? Or am I going to be a realtor? And I think if we can get some people to like understand there's a line there, maybe you might be able to balance it. There might be that person that's out there, but something's got to give. Sometimes you're usually given a side more love than the other, and something's always getting neglected regardless.
And I think that going right to the key point is character and integrity. So what's going to guide you in the whole thing is have your principles. And if that means I'm gonna make that money, then they say, hey man, I respect you. Go make that money. Be that millionaire realtor. You don't have to, right? It's cool. It's mad cool. Like I respect you, right? But whatever guides you has to be, you have to be principled. It has to always be, I'm gonna be the guy that picks up the piece of trash that I walk over because that's how I was raised, right? I pick it up or what? Doesn't matter if it's mine or not. You know what I mean? It has to be always, you have to be the same guy every single day. And it's hard because you know, we got different variables. We get pushed different ways, right? So yeah, I definitely agree with that there.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for spending time out of your day to do this.
Not enough time.
I really hey, I can always have you on again for a part two.
I know,
As long as you're up for it, I can always do a
right?
part two, man.
Right.
But like I said, thanks for coming on, speaking the good word, man. And I really appreciate you, Cap.
No problem, no problem. Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.